it's Friday night, and of course Friday night is the night you go out clubbing, see some crappy 80s cover band with a bass player who says weird things as stage banter, but no, we're recording the Infield Chatter, episode 13, the AC Statement Podcast. I'm Charlie Gibo. I'm overemphasizing my name because I did a radio hit earlier this week where the guy who I've talked to on two occasions before and who I told how to pronounce my name did not correctly. Not that I'm, you know, I have 28 years of bitterness about that or anything. I'm here, you know, doing the hosting thing and also a hoster of types. We have Devin Jessup in Las Vegas. Say hi, Devin.
Hi, and I would also like to say, being in Las Vegas, I don't have to go out and watch crappy cover bands of 80s music. I'm in Las Vegas. Some of these actual 80s bands have had their careers collapse, and now they're stuck here.
I believe because you live in Vegas, you're actually living in an 80s music video.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I am serious. Journey is actually doing a residency in Vegas right now, so...
Oh, look, honey, Simple Minds is playing on the street corner right now. That other one.
Did I forget about them?
Well, don't you?
Oh.
Anyway, that other voice you heard was Tim Jeffcoat in Scottsdale. And, of course, it being Friday night, the podcast won't have the usual soothing ambience of children, which might make it weird, but, you know, we soldier on.
I hate to break it to you, but one of them is still awake for the next 15 minutes, as you can hear in the background.
Fine, you made me a liar.
Well, I mean, if someone didn't have a social life tonight, we could be recording a little bit later, like I suggested.
I don't have a social life. I have to go pick my wife up from work.
That seems pretty social to me.
Sounds fairly social. You're interacting with another person.
But does it count as a life?
Yes, you're going to get out of the house, whereas, you know, Tim's with his kids, and I'm on the couch right now watching a basketball game on mute and trying to pad time for this podcast because there are things to talk about, but not that many things.
Hey, Charles,
well, to be fair,
he's not just hanging out with his kids. I'm here too, dude.
Who said that? Liz.
Who was that? Am I hearing things?
Am I in Japan? The hell is this? I could be out.
You're in Japan? I want to go to Japan.
Apparently Grace is on board the Japan train too, but there's not actually a train to Japan because it's an island.
Japan is a country that plays baseball, and that's the sort of thing we could talk about. So this week at Diamondbacks, the big thing that happened was more like Battison Reed. Well, and while that subject's been kind of talked to death already, I just kind of want to, you know, get your opinions on the Diamondbacks, on that situation, and the Diamondbacks bullpen situation in general, because sans Addison Reed, they blew a two-run lead to the Phillies, who are a team that may or may not be made out of stale graham crackers, but they still did anyway. So is this just a weird blip, or is it, oh God, 2010 flashback, so is that Bob Howry, et cetera?
I don't know. I mean, it's always hard to look at a bullpen and be like, yeah, I trust those guys. Cause I feel like bullpen pitchers are going to screw up about one time out of three anyway. I mean, yeah, I am not disappointed to see Sattis and Reed leave because, yeah, I mean, everybody knew it was time for him to take a step away from the closer's position because the closer's position is like a death knell of pitching in our bullpen. It seems like nobody seems to stick to the position for too long, and
so they're like spinal tap drummers.
Yeah, pretty much exactly.
Yeah.
I was gonna say spinal tap because sometimes they screw up and this game goes to 11.
Yeah. And you said Van Halen lead singers, that works as well.
Yeah, but sometimes they screw up and then they die in their own vomit. Or someone else's vomit.
So that's what happened to Brandon Lyon.
I don't think it's going to really be that much like 2010, just simply because, if I recall off the top of my head, which is a dangerous thing, they haven't had many chances, the Diamondbacks bullpen, to even convert saves.
That's true.
It always seems to be either they've already been losing, so they just end up losing, or they're winning by enough that's not really a save opportunity. So
Yeah, more of their wins than not have been like three runs or more, so.
Right. So it doesn't really give me that feeling yet, because it's just, there hasn't been that sort of, oh, it's the eighth inning again, it's the seventh inning again, it's the, you know, the various years where different innings seem to be the bad inning. But there's still, you know, there's still opportunity for it to happen.
It just goes to show, you know, the old saying that bullpens be volatile. And, you know, maybe this time next week we're talking about how, I don't know, the bullpen shut everything down and brought world peace and solved all the world's problems. Probably not, but who knows? We could, I mean, maybe.
Maybe next week we'll be back to arguing about Mark Trumbo.
Yeah.
So I guess it's not really arguing, because I feel like we're probably all in lockstep about him.
Yeah. More like... not a lot of things wrong with Mark that are vaguely insulting. So
more like Addison Reed Trumbo.
I kind of just want to bring this question up because I posted on Facebook asking if anybody had questions about the Diamondbacks for the podcast, and my older sister replied, will Addison Reed be sent down, or will he be DFA'd, or do they shoot him into space?
I don't think he's only in, what, his fourth year, so he probably theoretically has options. That feels like something I could look up easily.
Is one of those options being shot into space, though? I mean, I think that's pretty much my question.
Well, is it too late to sign him up for that Mars one-way trip?
Hey.
No, man, that whole thing seems like such a scam.
Service time.
Well, I mean, space trips. What could go wrong?
Well, no, I mean the entire thing is, I mean, like, they apparently don't even have like anywhere near the structure set up. I'm drawing a blank on the word. The logistics for an actual space launch.
They don't have an actionable plan to get people to Mars.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just a reality show. And as a nerd, that disappoints me.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, that's kind of my approach to virtually anything. When I hear people talk about space and it doesn't involve either a big company like SpaceX or Grace. Seriously, calm down.
I will admit, I agree. Space. I am very enthusiastic about the space programs that Grace endorses.
I know. I'm super excited about space too, Grace, but probably not as excited as you because it rhymes with your name. Anything involving space just makes me wonder if it's not involving NASA or SpaceX or some sort of a government entity, then it makes me wonder if it's something being sold by, like, I don't know, Addison Reed.
Speaking of which, while you guys were talking about this, he has 3.027 years of service time, so I believe that means he has options still, so that is a possibility. It's cheaper than firing someone into space, I'm just going to say.
Is one of those options to be a better pitcher? Because I vote we take that option.
I'm going to consult the Magic 8-Ball. I'll come hazy ask again.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that next week then.
Yeah, because, you know, can't ask the 8-Ball again for another, like, 12 hours, so...
That's just how magic items work.
Yeah. It's funny with Reed is that I'm looking at his career stats right now. Nothing looks overly impressive, but we kind of knew that coming in. And it's like, why is it... Oh, he had 40 saves once somehow. Which brings me to my next point. Saves are something invented by the lizard people to keep us under control. Now I have a symposium about this next Saturday, which you should come to. It's about 4 hours long, about saves and the lizard people. But it's just another example of, like, you can't just kind of like wins and losses. You can't judge a player solely on, oh, they have 35 saves, so obviously they're good, or hey, they have more wins than losses, et cetera, et cetera.
I'd like to point out just how little of that was a question, how much of it was a declarative statement, but one that I agree with. I feel that people a lot of the times just look at saves, whereas partially what we also need to look at is, like, more importantly, like, their save percentage, I guess.
Yeah. And his is about something like a little, like, hovering around 80, which isn't Well, it's not great.
It's not good, Bob.
It's like, okay, you're not the worst kid in class because you actually showed up and did the final, but... Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
I want to hear more about these lizard people.
Well, okay. Google David Icke. Basically, the lizard people are in our biggest positions of power in government and such, and they are in charge of traditional statistics. So really...
Wait, hold on. Mm-hmm. Both of you, go to Google.
Mm-hmm.
Google David Icke. Mm-hmm. And look at the first image and tell me that he himself does not look like a lizard person.
Wow. Yeah, no, he's got the eyes.
Wow.
And the teeth.
This goes really deep, folks.
Exposes the reptilian bloodline that rules the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think Jim once told me, he could confirm this in the comments if he listens, that
we never got a dinosaur comment from him, so...
Yeah.
I don't think he listens.
That he once heard David Icke speak in public or something? That would be an interesting thing to hear about. But I was going to say, the lizard people, they're in charge of traditional stats. So really, if you're a sabermetrician, not only are you sort of... on the cutting edge, you are also defending humanity at the same point. Think about it.
I think that's true.
But, yeah, bullpen's just volatile and bad/mad/status and Reed. Not closer. They said, oh, he has some mechanical adjustments to make, which is like, okay, I'll humor that possibility for a second, but I don't know. He would have to have some bad... you know, juju going on when he was with the White Sox for a bit and et cetera, et cetera. So, who knows?
I feel like I've exhausted my interest in Addison Reed.
Just as a concept or just like...
I think in general, I feel like the onslaught of articles over the last week and just him in general, I feel like I'm pretty good.
I feel like you've got it worked out.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think it is one of those things. There's like how much you can say other than he's not pitching well.
Or you could, you know, all you say is like he's not pitching well. Ergo, he's not closer anymore. Or you could say, no, I actually believe he is pitching well. I mean, that's a path you could take. You're wrong, but.
I believe if you were to say he is pitching well, you would suddenly be the craziest person we've discussed on this podcast, even more than David Icke.
Yeah. Maybe Addison Reed is a lizard person.
Maybe.
And, you know, maybe he's not suited to be a closer in Arizona because of the dry climate.
I don't think the dry climate would like, work for him, though. I mean.
No, exactly. That's what I was saying. He wouldn't be good. You know, it just dries out and, you know, doesn't get a good grip on his slider or whatever, and this has layers, people. Think about it.
Like a cake?
Yes, like a cake.
Alright.
Refraining from saying something else regarding cake, moving on.
Microwave cake?
Ah! Tricky game. Microwave cake is a take a shot sort of thing. So on some other, but I think beyond the bullpen brouhaha, it's the only other thing going on, because again, we're recording this kind of early for reasons, is that there was that series against the Nationals, which was kind of and that one game against the Phillies, but it seems like the Diamondbacks are sort of, I don't know if reverting is the right word, sort of settling more into the not, definitely not great and not the, maybe they'll hover around 500 sort of team. Could be wrong.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's kind of settling down to what we expected from them. It's not. It's not a great team. It's not a bad team. It's not an average team. They're there. Oh, wow. I would discuss this, but I don't know how to pronounce that guy's name.
What is it?
If I could pronounce his name, I wouldn't be having this conversation.
What?
Sound it out.
Yeah, it's like...
Hafthor Julius Bjornsson. Bjornsson? I don't know.
Oh, the mountain.
Yeah.
Yes, the mountain.
Come on.
So the guy who played the mountain on Game of Thrones was at the Phillies game today, and we saw him...
No. The mountain was at the game.
Oh, sorry. Of course, Game of Thrones is a documentary. I apologize.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. How silly of me. I lost my train of thought. Yeah. So let's see. And we got to see him suplex the Philly Fanatic. And I think he also, well, basically that. So which begs the question. I should think of a question.
I mean, it is concerning. I'm just glad he didn't actually join the Phillies in the dugout or something, because obviously it didn't work out really well for the Vipers, so I don't think it would go well for the Diamondbacks.
Well, you could always send...
Spoiler alert, I guess, for a book that came out 15 years ago.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, but the episode that then happened wasn't that long ago.
It was still a year ago.
Yeah, but maybe some people are only just watching it now.
You know what? It's been out on
to this podcast.
It's been out on DVD for a while.
Well, that doesn't mean everybody can afford those DVDs.
Well, then maybe they should just stay off the internet.
Maybe you should check your stuff before you wreck yourself.
Nope. Too late. I am all about the wrecking myself.
That's kind of sad. Do you want to talk about the wrecking yourself? Because there are people around you that love you and care about your well-being, Devin. And I'm just saying that you should really not wreck yourself.
Look, the title of this podcast is not Intervention Chatter. Thank you very much.
I could change it. I have the power. Oh, yeah. Anyway, he didn't take batting practice with the Phillies today. Apparently he wasn't very good, but nobody's going to tell him that.
He's Scandinavian, it's okay.
Yeah, he doesn't really look like a baseball player, to be honest.
But why give a guy that big a large wooden stick? That just seems like a recipe for trouble. But, you guys want to throw out any more Game of Thrones spoilers before we move on to the next topic?
Rosebud is actually the name of Daenerys' dragon.
I would have guessed that Rosebud was the name of the Tyrell's Valyrian blade, but...
That's a good point. Yeah, I hadn't considered that.
Mm-hmm. It's probably something dopey like that.
Anyway, so the thing that happened this week is, well, today's game, is that both Yasmani Tomas and Aaron Hill seem to have some sort of undisclosed illness that seemed like a stomach bug. So here's my question. When did Arby's start catering the Diamondbacks?
I believe my question would be, we know they're in Philadelphia, but did they at any point go to Ohio for Arby's?
Let's see. If I were to... I would imagine that that you could take a straight flight from Phoenix to Philadelphia on any airline, much less, you know, a Diamondbacks charter plane, unless that plane was piloted by the lizard people. Focus here. And there's like, oh, no, we're having mechanical troubles, hiss, because they're lizards. We need to land in Columbus real quick. They have an Arby's at the airport terminal. You could have that while we fix the problems.
You know what? I mean, I would point out that we all assume lizard people, but I believe he just says reptilians. Maybe they're not lizard people. Maybe they're snakes.
Maybe lizard people is just one of those, like sort of weird catch-all words that's technically not correct, like calling Inuit Eskimos.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was just going for a snakes on the plane reference, but that's okay.
No.
If you just want to get pedantic about your terminology with lizard folk.
Hey, I like to think I'm sensitive to, you know, lizard people. You know, they're evil and trying to take over the world or whatever, but they're still, you know, people.
I feel like we've established the level of pedantic behavior that's going to be on this podcast, so you can't be surprised.
I know, I was just being pedantic about him being pedantic.
And I'm being pedantic about,
go stuff. On.
So how many more layers of pedantry can we get to before the universe collapses on itself?
I think we all knew that destroying the universe was going to happen eventually. Man, it would probably be our fault.
Sorry! Womp womp!
Let's see, what else is going on?
As someone who's never seen a Mad Max movie, how well can I connect that universe to Dimebacks?
Well, it takes place in a post-apocalyptic world, and we are now post Kevin Towers, which was basically the apocalypse. It takes place in a desert.
Check. There's someone who's mad.
Yes. There is no player on the Diamondbacks named Max, though. Not since Max Scherzer.
Not Diamondback.
No. I would say that. I mean, like, if you look at the kind of vehicles they are driving around in the Mad Max movies, obviously it's a lot of ramshackle things put together from just like random parts, and sometimes that does feel like the Diamondbacks roster.
Sometimes a weird barbaric Thunderdome is involved in the Diamondbacks case. You know, any game against the Dodgers and, you know, Dodgers Van de Vee, they're sort of like very feral post-apocalyptic kind of people.
I think the Diamondbacks would probably be, I think it'd be more interesting if we had more Thunderdome involvement in our team.
I don't know, but sometimes I just feel like, can't we just get beyond Thunderdome?
That's a reference.
I understand the thing of which you speak.
Yeah, that's an old joke, but yeah.
I feel like that's a reference, too.
Not really. Actually, no, that was just...
No, just you being weird.
Yeah. Pretty much constantly.
I get the feeling that this episode is going to be the Hawkeye of our podcast.
You know what?
So, like, in the second installment, we're just going to really try maybe a little too hard to prop it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably should be taken out from the farm, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He's a valued member of the Avengers, thank you very much.
Well, we did do what I wanted to do on an episode, like, it was 2 weeks ago, where we just say random fake Avengers spoilers, but, yeah, it turns out Hawkeye was a lizard person, who knew? But hey, you get what you pay for. You definitely get what you pay for.
Diamondbacks are 4 games under .500, mm-hmm. but they're only 3 games back in the wild card.
That's a little strange to consider.
I think that's just a part of just sort of early season weirdness. Like, all teams are going to be kind of bunched together at this point.
Well, I think also looking at this NL standings, it kind of feels like there's a couple teams that are running away with their division, the Dodgers and the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Mets aren't quite running away with it anymore because they've also lost 5 straight.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's like this middle pack of teams that are all about .500 or a little bit under .500.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah, looking through the National League, yeah, the Mets kind of regressing because they just basically can't hit for shit right now. So, you know, they still have the pitching staff and whatever, but... Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anyone... It's like the Diamondbacks. Like anyone was expecting them to compete this year.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike the Diamondbacks, they grossly overperformed in the first month and kind of come back down to earth.
Now they've lost 5 straight.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess now I know that the wild card elimination number for the Diamondbacks is 125, so that's starting to count down.
Mm-hmm. What's funny about the Diamondbacks is that, yeah, they're 4 games under .500, but they have a positive run differential, which is probably mostly due to just a handful of games that just happen to be lopsided.
Right.
Wins. So, yeah. So really they're playing sort of like the opposite of the 2007 Diamondbacks.
Right.
Yeah.
They're going to end up with a losing record but a positive run differential.
Yeah.
and we will all be so pissed.
That would be so infuriating.
Gonna have a long conversations over the off season about Pythagorean record.
Yeah, I so look forward to that.
There's nothing more just, and you know what would be better than that? If someone got traded and the return was questionable. Oh man, those conversations are just, they're like a fine wine.
Questionable return, and then maybe there's like a little bit of crap talking in the media.
Yeah.
I would really welcome that. So looking at another thing I see when I look at the standings that kind of amuses me is Colorado started off really hot and now they're back where they belong, which is the bottom of the division. Actually, bottom of the league. Huh, look at that.
Yeah.
Suck it, Colorado.
Yeah. They technically have a better winning percentage than the Phillies, but that's only because they've had, what, like half their home games rained out? Weather control machine. Again, like we talked about last week, that would be good. Speaking of the Rockies, a sort of broad topic is that we sort of talked about before we officially started is that Troy Tulowitzki kind of, maybe sort of, not technically, but generally yes, is asking for a trade, or could be, might be. I'm phrasing it like this because that is basically how his agent phrased it.
Here's a question then.
Yeah.
Diamondbacks have been pretty terrible, mm-hmm. at least from a hitting perspective, at the shortstop and middle infield positions. Mm-hmm. Depending on their turn, let's assume a not crazy return because this is our podcast and we can do whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
So take that, Mr. McBride, my seventh grade English teacher. would you trade for him?
Trade for Tulowitzki?
No, Mr. McBride.
I would not trade for Mr. McBride because, I mean, honestly, I understand he brings a veteran presence to our classroom, but I always felt that like his interactions with students weren't really on par with what you want from an experienced teacher. And I feel like his analysis of the literary texts were, I mean, they were a little simplistic. It's like he just glanced through the cliff notes and was like, oh, this is what it's supposed to mean. I'm not really going to be able to argue as to why it does. And that's, I don't feel like that teaches the kids.
And yeah, he's teaching seventh graders in Yuma. Come on.
Yeah. I was going to say park factors coming to effect here.
Yeah.
I probably would pass on Mr. McBride and Tulowitzki. If he didn't get broken by a gust of wind every now and then. It should be noted that literally 5 minutes after we stopped recording this podcast, there was news that Tulowitzki was injured again. I'm just saying. I would say totally, but his injury history, like, you know, discounting all other things, his injury history is scary to me. And I don't know if, you know, that would be, you know, even if it's a reasonable return, but you still assume you're taking most of his salary. Yeah, that just, I just might go, maybe not for me. It's with the state the Diamondbacks are in right now, if it was more obvious that like it was a really contending team with just a whole lot of shortstop, maybe you make that. Maybe you're more willing to make that gamble. But right now, let him be like the Mets or the Mariners or whatever other team's been linked to him's problem.
I mean, I think the interesting thing about taking a trade on Tulowitzki is the fact that, I mean, he's signed through 2020. With an option for 2021. But, yeah, I don't think I'd want him for that long, really. It would be concerning. If it was a shorter deal and I could maybe in the off season send him to the Weapons X program to get his bones coated with adamantium, I'd take a flyer on it, yeah.
But is adamantium banned by the JDA?
You know what? I am willing to bet money that it is not specifically mentioned in there.
Yeah. Here's a follow-up question then. Let's say he does get traded from the Rockies and not to the Diamondbacks. Would you still hate him?
Slightly less, but, you know, I built an all-caps meme on saying mean things about Tulowitzki. That doesn't die easily.
No, that's not something you give up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would depend on where he ended up. Mm-hmm. Say, for instance, he ends up with the Yankees, gonna hate him more. say he ends up with the Hiroshima Carp, not going to feel as bad. Not going to hate him as much.
If he ends up with the Nippon Ham Fighters, I'm a fan.
You'll buy a jersey.
I'll buy a jersey. Because I want a jersey that says Ham Fighters. Even though I know it's Nippon Ham is the technically city, whatever name, not really city, and then Fighters, but still Ham Fighters to me, as in you're punching pork.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can argue with that.
A Japanese jersey of some kind of well-known but still washed-up player is probably the ultimate baseball hipster sort of item of clothing, I would argue.
Like, I will admit I have actually looked into getting a jersey for a Japanese team just because I think it would be cool to have.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem is that the sizes they come in are designed for Japanese people. So even the largest size that I was able to find for sale would have been too small for me. So I was disappointed in that.
Ooh. Would it be better for a baseball hipster to get a Japanese jersey for someone like Kevin Youkilis, mm-hmm. who is washed up at that point, or the Japanese jersey for a Japanese player before they bust out?
I think if you want to go with the Japanese player, you need to do it. Like, it can't be when, oh, this guy's going to come over in a year or two. You've got to have that jersey when they're just first starting out.
So, like, if you had a Yu Darvish jersey around the, like, what was the World Baseball Classic he broke out of, 2006 or so, I want to say? Like, around then? Like, right before the tournament? That would kind of count for that?
Yeah, if you had it before the WBC.
Yeah.
Then, yeah. But, I mean, if you... Yeah,
2010.
If you picked it up in 2010 or something, then no.
Whatever that year was, I don't keep the track of stuff. That requires a research department.
We should get on that. We should get an intern.
We should.
So if you want,
you want to earn college credit, intern for the Snake Pit Podcast.
It's going to take a lot of driving because you're going to have to get coffee and deliver one to each of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody's going to complain that it's not warm enough.
I guess to answer your original question, it would sort of depend on how ironic you're being. So, like, if you got, say, a Kevin Youkilis after his washed up jersey, that definitely feels very postmodern and ironic, especially if you got it for that reason. Whereas if you try to get a Japanese player's jersey, you're just trying to be ahead of the times.
Chris Etling on Facebook wants to know, if you need to get one out to save your life, who would you put on the mound? Addison Reed or Baxter?
I know this is just a weird hypothetical, but this question is really tense.
Yeah, it's kind of stressful to think about. Jesus, I'm gonna go with Baxter because I don't have any faith in either one of them. But I feel like when Baxter gives up that hit or that home run or whatever, I'm going to charge the mound and just start punching him, and it's going to be so much more satisfying punching the costume of Baxter.
And then you die.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess we don't know how what the circumstances of my death are.
But. Yeah. It does not specify the manner of your death.
Yeah. I don't know. On the one hand, it's like Addison Reed can't give up a homer at any time, but he's also capable of getting two or more hits up at any given time as well, but you're only thinking about one. But Baxter, he is just basically one of the three big evils of the world. But, I don't know.
M. Dinger.
And Bernie Madoff.
The Raiders.
Yeah. You know, the Raiders are like if...
The Rockies of the NFL.
No.
The Raiders
would be like if in the next Star Wars movie, you find out Emperor Palpatine didn't die, and he's just like this—he's just like this sad drunk guy in a bar, and like he wants to believe he's evil, but he's like, "Ah, my Force lightning," and you're like, "I'm sorry, Palpatine, you actually just scuffed your shoes against the shag carpet and shocked me. That's all."
I really kind of hope that that is in the next Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
I would give it 4 stars. I would give it 5 stars. Anyway, my analogy was going to be the Raiders are the guy who tries to start a fight, but the hold me back guy.
And no one's really holding him back, but he's like pretending people are holding him back.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the person realizes how ridiculous he's being and walks off. He's like, "That's right, you better run."
Yeah.
Starts pantomiming a chicken.
Does anybody in this family even eat chicken? Which point of just so everybody knows, yesterday, May 14th, National Dance Like a Chicken Day. I hope everyone celebrated.
I did not.
I was working tech for a show which had a gag involving a rubber chicken. Does that count?
That's close enough.
I ate chicken today.
There you go.
Not exactly the same thing.
It's really not.
No.
We can go to, if there's any more questions, we could go to that. Or we could talk about how people shouldn't leave, like 5-inch sharp pieces of metal in the road for no reason. Not that that's a thing that happened yesterday.
Where else would I put them? I don't want to put it on the sidewalk. Someone could step in it. That'd be dangerous, Charlie. Come on.
No. You got a point. And, you know, what's a tire anyway?
It's replaceable.
Yeah. Feet? Not so much. But,
No, I mean, like having a tire, like, go out like that is kind of one of the most terrifying things. It's
especially when it happens while you're turning.
Oh, yeah, Jesus.
Yeah. It's, and then you have, your car came with like a hydraulic, one of those like hydraulic sort of pumpy jacks that has a little cylinder that raises up.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And, but the thing is, like, when the tire went flat, it made the wheel lower, and, so basically, when I pumped the thing all the way up, it still wasn't high enough to get the spare on. And so I'm waiting in the parking lot of a hospice, which, you know, that's a grim background. But and so I had to wait for a coworker who was also on the way to work, who brought like a big aerobic step, and I had to put the jack on there and pump it up, and it was finally high enough. It's just like, jeez,
on a big aerobic step.
Yeah. But, you know, ingenuity. Yeah.
I mean, I guess when it comes to exercise equipment, that wouldn't be my first thought, but, I mean...
It's a sort of exercise equipment someone would have in their car, though.
That's true, but, I mean, not the one that I would think if I was trying to lift, bro.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it was just, you know, making the starting point of the jack higher, et cetera. It's science.
It's okay. No, it's all right. We can move on. It wasn't a good joke I was trying to make.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
We have some questions in the GDT. This one from D-Back Skins. Why do Nigerian restaurants serve human flesh?
I don't know where that's going.
Neither do I, but I thought I'd throw it out.
I still feel like it's just a misspelling where they meant to say non-beef.
But that's not Nigerian?
No, but I mean like a restaurant that is serving Chinese food, they screw up the translation, not that Americans have ever done that, and then...
No, that's... I'm just going to point out, I just googled that. Here is from the website Eater. Nigerian restaurant shut down for serving human flesh.
Oh,
well,
wow.
If it's from Eater, it must be true.
It was also on New Vision.
Eater is like the SB Nation of food places.
Well, oh, yeah, because they're owned by the same company.
Wow. Okay. This is actually kind of a Grizzly reference, then, I guess. Wow.
Grizzly reference? Are we talking about the Rockies again?
No, about this the human flesh thing. Two human heads and, quote, so many cell phones, end quote.
Wow. Many cell phones.
Good work, Gawker. I'm glad that you guys have picked up the lead there.
Well, so
but this is from last year. I don't understand why. Yeah. No, apparently this is a problem that. Yee.
Wow, I am not happy I'm going down that rabbit hole.
I've never been on Eater until about right this second, and I don't know what this is. There's an article about a hamburger with a French fry bun.
Interesting.
Another one about how to make a 40,000 calorie quesarito.
Why?
Why not? Live a little. Don't be such snob.
I believe that trying to live a little would, like, you would only live a little after that.
Exactly, yeah.
How Mountain Dew came to perpetuate a deep-seated Appalachian stereotype.
There's an Appalachian stereotype?
Well, yeah. Better near, 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 near. That sort of thing, yeah. That was Appalachian, right?
I don't know.
No.
Or was that the Ozarks?
No, that's the Ozarks.
Yeah. They're fairly close.
The Ozarks aren't in Appalachia?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
Please email whether or not you think the Ozarks in Appalachia to what's the email address?
Infieldchatterpodcast@gmail.com. Wow, fascinating. The Ozark Highlands area actually is the region. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's separate from the Appalachians. It's the most extensive mountainous region between the Appalachians and the Rocky Mountains.
Oh. The more you know.
Yeah.
So, let's conclude on what we usually do, talk about next week's and Diamondbacks games.
I'd like to.
In theory, it's what we're here for. We've got the Marlins coming up, which we get to see the crime before God and man that is their stadium.
It's funny because the stadium was that was a shady sort of taxpayer deal. So really the least offensive thing about it is that home run structure.
Pretty much it's like you just kind of have to, I guess you don't have to, you're free not to, but I personally look at that stadium and it's kind of depressing just in once you know how it came about.
It's so green too, like color wise. I mean, I doubt it. It's very energy efficient, but but it's just like the walls, everything. It's just so, yeah. It's like, and that's not even one of the Marlins colors. So, or it might be because that logo just has like
Marlins have all the colors now. I believe
it's like black and orange and mauve and
there may be some puce in there.
You put out some infrared goggles and you see something, some other colors, that sort of thing, yeah.
You get the old red and blue 3D goggles, and there's a message there that you can decode with your secret decoder ring that you get from Chewbacca in the outfield stands.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
First of all, Marlins Park has a LEED Gold certification, so it is pretty mental.
La-ti-da.
Friendly. And second of all, hate all you want, but of the newer stadiums that have been built, I have no reason to ever really want to go to Miami, but I want to go to that stadium. It looks cool as shit. It doesn't make any sense at all, and that's why I want to see it.
I
can throw a dart at the map of the U.S. and find some jewel box knockoff Camden Yards in virtually every state. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to find that virtually anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get that. I mean, there's a bit of absurdity to it. Because, like you said, like, I'd love to... The home run structure, people are like, oh, that's weird, haha. But it's like, that's some, kind of forward, out-of-the-box thinking. Which, and...
Yeah.
Creativity, which, I could dig that.
I don't know if it's really that out of the box. I mean, it's really just a scaled up weird version of the Milwaukee Brewers having their mascot go down a slide.
And if anything, it's closer to the... It's like a cross between the Mets' apple and the White Sox' exploding scoreboard.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it has the sort of spectacle of the old Comiskey exploding scoreboard, but then it has this sort of rising up attitude of the Mets' apple.
Yeah.
So I would say it's closer to those than...
And really, I would think watching that while on Molly or something... Don't do drugs, kids. It would be more entertaining than watching one of the other two things.
Yeah. The funny thing to me, too, is that where it's located is just in the middle of Miami. It's not in downtown at all.
It was built on the side of the old Orange Bowl, right?
Yeah, the side of the old Orange Bowl. So a lot of the parking in the area is just literally parking in people's yards.
Yeah.
Like people just renting out their front yard for people to park.
Yeah, that's the sort of hallmark of a lot of kind of... of a few like older kind of stadiums, because I know you still do that if you go to like the Rose Bowl, you either have to park in people's yards or like on like a golf course or something.
But I will say this then: by building a stadium and having people rent out their yards for parking lot, assuming everybody has their own attendant for their yard, this may be one of the first projects the sports team has ever done that has lived up to its claims about job creation.
Yeah. So, hate on haters. Though I seem to recall MLB has a rule that there either has to be 15,000 spaces in a certain radius or the team has to own 15,000 spaces. It's something like that. There's a certain parking requirement. And I wonder how the Marlins get around that. Because there's...
Who knows?
It's in the middle of nowhere.
It's actually... They probably have, like, 15,000 parking spaces that are actually underneath open water.
They bought 15,000 houses in the general area.
Wee! Gentrification!
And then filled them with actors.
They're like, at least it's not being a waiter.
Nice work if you can get it.
Yeah.
I've got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing. I mean, we've got the Cubs coming into town next week, too, but I'm sure that there's plenty of annoyance we could ignore about that, so...
Yeah.
So, kids, if you want to, you know, keep your sanity, avoid Chase Field next Friday through Sunday. So.
Yeah, but they're not really that good again this year. I mean, I know they have a ton of hype.
I also feel like the Cubs fan base has become somewhat disillusioned.
Right.
And so they don't seem as annoying in town.
When we played them in the playoffs in 2007, it seemed to be around a kind of a weird peak. Because in the run-up, you know, before 2003, they weren't really that good. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of had a block of years from maybe 2003 to 2009.
Yeah.
Where they were consistently competing or at least getting into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of fell off the face again. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's still lots of Cubs fans, but it was just this weird... perfect storm of people were just over the top with them. Like, you go to a Cubs game at Chase Field and there would just be tons of annoying Cubs fans and they'd be talking about it being Wrigley Field West, and then since then they've all kind of disappeared. Yeah. Probably Dodgers fans now.
Dodgers fans are like silverfish.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about silverfish to argue that, so yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cubs fans are the Dodgers of baseball fans.
You can make your own podcast at home if you want. No, really, you can. I would say approximately 35% of all Americans have their own podcast. So get with it.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Pulling stuff out of our ass for an episode?
Pretty much.
I love it. The analingus episode.
I was gonna go proctology, but I mean,
it's like no, that's something totally there.
I guess he's correct. Tongues are involved.